Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go together into the inner place, into the holy of holies. Let's receive that.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you to the program this evening. We thank you for joining us. All you called in at 646-668-2636 or listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We appreciate you. We see you on the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, have a question, or share your insights or wisdom on a topic today, just press 1 on your keypad. Amen. We're going to open with prayer. We're going to get right into the conversation today. I just wanted to give some encouragement and some insight and some wisdom about forgiveness. This will be part 2 when we're talking about forgiveness. Amen. Father God, we just say thank you right now, Father. Father, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, Lord God. Father, we humbly come before you to now, God, seeking your wisdom, seeking your discernment, oh God. Father, use me today, oh God, to speak to the lives of men, oh God. Father, I ask today that you would touch the lives of men. Touch those brothers out there who are struggling, oh God, from emotional, financial, physical, mental needs, and just not being sure, God. Your insecurities, Father. We ask, oh God, that you would touch them and heal them, oh God. Father, we pray for the salvation of the lost, oh God, that today would be the day of salvation. That they would know, oh God, that all they have to do is confess their sins to you and that you would forgive them, oh God. If they come to faith in Jesus Christ, oh God, and believe who he says he is, oh God, and believe that he died for their sins, in God. So, Father, we pray for salvation today, for salvation of every soul that is listening, oh God. Father, I pray for every man, husband, father, and son today, oh God, that they might be encouraged, oh God, as they will lead in their homes, in the church, and in the community, oh God. Father, you know the needs and desires of your people, God. I ask you to continue to bless the church. Continue, God, to keep us, oh God, on the straight and narrow, oh God. Give us supernatural spiritual guidance today, oh God, to be the church, Lord God, that we go out into the culture, into the communities, and be salt and light. Father, we pray today for pastors and elders and deacons and all those who serve behind the scenes, oh God. We continue to pray for the body of Christ all over the world, oh God, for different challenges, oh God, for different persecutions, oh God, and for different needs, God, because we know that you are sovereign in all things, even here in America and all over the world. So you know what's needed, God, so we just pray your blessing, your covering, your favor and protection, oh God. Father, we pray for children today, oh God. We pray for the next generation of children, God. Keep them safe, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you, God, would protect them, oh God. And Father, we pray for the salvation that they wouldn't get to know Christ also, God. Father, we just say thank you. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being sovereign, oh God. Because, God, because you know all and you see all, oh God, so nothing is a surprise to you. Father, keep us and draw us faithful to you, Lord God. Forgive us, oh God, for our failings and transgressions. Continue to bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, today I'm just going to touch on a couple of points on forgiveness. This is part two. We did a previous episode about forgiveness, about struggling to forgive ourselves. But now I just wanted to touch on some points to encourage you in forgiveness. And it's a lot of things we have to look at and what it means to forgive others and to seek forgiveness from others and know that what we must do to forgive. There's a lot to it, you know, because forgiveness is bondage. It can set us free if we can learn to forgive people for what they've done. It's something I learned a long time ago, and I always tell the brothers when we do our man-up gatherings, you know, people are people and they do the best they can. You know, some people do what they do because that's who they are. And as a sinner man, we know we've done things to folk. We've did things. We made bad choices and bad decisions. We disappointed people. We let people down. We hurt people. But when it comes to us forgiving them, we pray that they will forgive us for the things we did, even though we gave our life to Christ. Think back over the years of the things you did and the people that you didn't go back and really ask for forgiveness, but you did them wrong. Amen? So consider where we all are. We all are in need of grace. We all in need of forgiveness. But tonight I'm going to touch on a couple of points. I just want to encourage you. As always, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, I encourage you. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the archive, the rebroadcast of this show. And because if you don't have a paper or a pencil now, you want to take notes or you want to share it with someone, you can go there and share it. You can also reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. The link is there. You can go and listen to it again. And also on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. So today I'm going to begin talking about forgiveness. And we talk about this now. When we talk about forgiveness, it's a couple of things. Let's talk about first. Let's start with the difference between repentance and just apologizing. You know what repentance is when it comes to our salvation. It comes to Christ. It comes to believing Christ and repenting from the life and the things that we've done. So when it comes to forgiveness, as we treat one another, genuine repentance is involved with confessing the wrongdoing and willing to make things right. This is saint to saint, person to person, husband to wife, parents to children, sibling to sibling. Are we willing? And it involves confessing what we've done wrong and the willingness to make things right if we can. You know, but then we have to make sure our apology is not making an excuse for what we've done, but that we are truly sorry for what we've done. And again, confessing a wrongdoing, that means admitting that we were wrong, what we did was wrong, what you and I have done to others was wrong. Maybe at the time we didn't think it was, but once we knew that it was wrong, we go back and we repent. Genuine repentance involves confessing the wrongdoing and then willing to make things right when we can. You know, it can go all the way from, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'll try and do better, or it can be also, we're going to talk about it later, making restitution for the wrong we've done. You know, it's again, it's a behavior, it's a heart issue. It's something we have to understand. We have to plead for forgiveness and give people opportunity to forgive, because genuine repentance is properly expressed in admission of our wrongdoing and a plea for forgiveness. I can only say that. That's the point I want to get across when we talk about repentance or just apologizing. Apologizing, just making an excuse for what you did, and when people just, oh, I just did it because of this. That's not an apology. That's not true repentance. Because you still just try to justify the thing you did, the wrong thing that you did. You justified in your mind, you was right. You're just trying to make them feel better. That's not true repentance, and that is not confessing you're wrong and willing to make it right. Amen? The next thing is, this is part of it. Who should we confess our sins to? You know, a lot of people say that, you know, I confess my sins to God, but the thing is, the confession of guilt is always made to God, no matter what we do and who we do it to. But confession is also owed to whoever we sinned, our sin has injured. You know, because confession should be made if we did it to a group, if we've embarrassed whatever, our church, our family, our friends, whatever, you know, if it was a sin that was committed in public, confession should be made in public. It's as simple as that. A lot of people do a lot of things, they get caught with it, but they never really apologize and confess their sins, even if they don't get caught. But if you're truly seeking repentance and forgiveness, you have to confess your sins to those of you that who might have gotten hurt because of your sin. So that who would you confess to? Private sins or public? If the transgression, the sin, if the thing you did was in public, then we need to make go public with it. If you did sin against your family, against whatever, you know, let your family know. You know, as you've got to, you have to really be able to stand before people and stand and ask for true forgiveness and confess your sin. Now, if the sin's done in private, with things only, you know, with a spouse, a sibling, a co-worker, friend, then you need to go to that person and apologize and repent and confess the sin to them. To get to, you know, because when you do things to folk, if your conscience is seared by the Holy Spirit, you know what you did wrong. And even if you did, if you did it on purpose, or if you did it out of you didn't know, but once you find out, and go and confess that thing to people, and seek their forgiveness, that they might not hold a grudge against you, and then you don't walk around feeling in condemnation. Your conscience gets to you, and you start to your behavior changes. You start to lash out at people because you know you've done them wrong, but you just don't want to confess it. You just don't want to ask forgiveness and confess that sin. But as always, like I said, when we start in this section, his confession is always unto God. I think back to the scripture in Joseph. You know, he did not want to sleep with a part of his wife because it was a sin against God. David went to that, the sins that David committed, these sins were against God. And where he went to God and confessed that he was sinning, not he wouldn't sin against him. So the greatest one is the sins against God, that we transgress and we do wrong things, that we offend him, and we seek his repentance. Amen? Amen. Next question we have is, what if you sin in your thoughts or in your imagination against another person? All right, for men and brothers, you know, the things you think about in your head. You think about revenge, you think about, murder, revenge, lusting after other women. The things that we think in our mind is our thoughts against another person, that type of sin. But is that something that we need to repent? You know, but if, you know, sometimes confession is right or wrong. It may be appropriate for a man, like, again, if you lust after a woman, to go up to tell her that you want to ask her forgiveness because you lusted at her. You know, that's not really, it really wouldn't make sense. But the confession in such cases should be made only to God, again, because God knows our heart, he knows our mind, he knows the sins you commit in your heart, and it's in the lust that you have in your head. And that's where, again, where confession to God is always, because remember, God always knows. Sometimes the people that you sin against in your thought pattern, how you think about them, what you say about them, hopefully you don't say it out loud, but you thought these thoughts. Your heart was hardened against them. Then we go to God and ask God to forgive you, to change your heart. You know, if it doesn't come out your mouth and you don't slander on somebody or lie against someone, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to them. But if it was in your heart, because that's where all sin starts, is in our heart. So if it was there, seek to confess it to God, that God would change your heart. And don't carry that around. Because, again, when you carry that kind of thing and try and hide it, you carry it more, and then you'd be surprised. When you think, the way you think about people translates into the way you treat them and the way you talk to them, and you don't even notice it. You just talk to them different and treat them different. And we have to, again, we have to watch ourselves and watch what we do because of our sinful thoughts or our lustful thoughts. And, again, these are the things that we have to surrender these things over to God and think on the good thing, think on the things of God and how God would treat us. And this is where it all starts, our internal character. So the sins of our thoughts against other people is, again, a confession to God and repenting from that thing. Why did you think that way? Why did it rise up in you? As brothers, a lot of brothers deal in the church. I'm talking about the saved brothers right now. You struggle with lust. You know that's your struggle. You struggle with thoughts because those ungodly, let's just say ungodly thoughts about people, about situations, And that's where we have to confess it to God, and God changes our heart and changes our thoughts, because we get there for a reason. If it's flesh or covetousness or greed or it's one of the things that is not pleasing to God that we're still carrying on the inside of us, and we have to seek God for it to be cleansed and purged of that thing. Amen? Amen. Well, again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Thursday at 8 p.m., every Monday at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. So we encourage you to, again, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and join in the conversation. You can call us at 646-668-2636. You can just listen to the program, or you can, again, you can ask questions. If you press one on your keypad, we can bring you into the conversation. I also want to thank all the brothers I see called in on the switchboard. I see you there, and I appreciate you. I got people from, let's see, I got 410, 443, that's all Maryland most likely, a couple of DCs, 202s, and some of my peoples up from New York at 917. Amen. But anyway, we'll continue on. I just wanted to spend a few minutes here to encourage you, to give you something to think about as you continue to grow in your faith and grow as a husband, father, and son. Amen. My next point is, this is going to be a biggie. This is for married folk. This is for married folk. Should I confess my unfaithfulness to my spouse, even if telling them maybe hurt them more than keeping a secret? That's a challenge. That's a challenge. I know a lot of counselors, a lot of marriage counselors, a lot of people would say, yes, you would confess that thing. But you have to at some point, because you, just think of it this way. You're keeping a secret, and you're keeping a secret from your spouse. And it's about keeping secrets. It's more than just this. It's more than just, they'd say, about unfaithfulness, but it's a lot of things. You can be unfaithful in a lot of things. You have secret bank accounts. You know, a lot of people think about adultery and all that, but what about you doing things behind your spouse's back, from spending money to going here and not telling them where you're going or doing whatever? You going to the casino, you going to the strip club, you going to whatever, and you're not telling your spouse. You hanging around, you know, you hanging around people you shouldn't be around, and you're hiding it from your spouse. Again, it's a lot. A lot of it, the unfaithfulness care covers a lot of things. I just don't want to put it on adultery, because there's a lot of other things that we hide from our spouses. But then, you know, even if we struggle with it, you know, you could be secret. I got so many sins, I can't even think of one. Oh, drinking behind their back, using drugs, all these things that you're keeping secret from your spouse that can destroy and weaken your marriage relationship because it's secrets. Amen? And even with the unfaithfulness of adultery, you know, you're keeping secrets, but the person that you committed adultery with, they know more about you than your spouse knows. And that builds the mistrust, the trust is broken, and it starts to wear on your relationship. Again, when we carry this unforgiveness or we carry secret sins, they will manifest themselves in your relationship. Because now that you're convicted by your sins, you're upset by it, you start to treat your spouse different. And just understand, and I know this is Issues Christian Men's Talk, but for the brothers out there, you know, how would you feel if you know that your wife's been keeping secrets from you for the years of your marriage? So that's why I got to put a shoe on the other foot. You know, I don't put men in a place where we're the only ones, but in a marriage, it is two people. So how would you feel if your wife kept secrets from you for years and years on any of the things I mentioned earlier? Amen? And then it comes to the surface. But can you forgive? And that is the real question. Will you be able to forgive, move on, and be able to restore and reconcile your marriage? Because that's what God calls us to do. But that's another show talking about marriage and reconciliation after failures, faults, adulteries, and unfaithfulness. Amen? The next one, how should I handle repeat offenders? People who just keep doing the same thing. I'm going to give you scripture. I'm going to give everybody scripture homework. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. And this is Jesus speaking. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repeats, forgive him. And if he sins again, against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive me again. And, excuse me, our forgiveness is supposed to be a lavish, enthusiastic, eager, and freely offered and unconditional. That's Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, whom Jesus talks about seven times seven. So we all have sinned, and we're repeat offenders against God. We commit sins every day, knowingly and unknowingly, our little sins, our big sins. Remember what sin is. Sin is disobedience to God. So how many times have we disobeyed God's commands, God's directives, God's principles, God's commands in our life and in our thought life? So if God is what forgives us, again, if we confess those things, because if someone comes to you and asks forgiveness and confesses that sin, they may be a repeat offender, but we have to get in a place where we're strong, because, again, we are our brother's keeper. We are to be able to encourage those around us until they get it right. Because, again, we can't be hypocritical and think that we got it all together when someone does something against us. Then all of a sudden we don't have no forgiveness. But when we do some people wrong and we come back to them again for the same offense over and over for whatever it is, it can be cussing, yelling, screaming. You know, it could be our emotions, our anger, an angry outburst. And then we say we're sorry, but the next time something don't go our way, we're outburst again. We're hollering, screaming, cussing, fussing. And then we say we're sorry. So we want people to forgive us multiple times, but then we struggle with forgiving others. So that's where we have to search our hearts and see where we are as Christian men and in Christians in general. Amen? Amen. So what is the reason you think that repentance is not real? It's fake. It's hypocritical. That's fine. I mean, it could have hypocritical, but, you know, if someone deliberately keeps doing the same thing, especially when they come to you with a phony repentance and there's no real evidence of the Bible calls it the fruit of repentance, there's no real fruit of them trying to be different, seeking to do different. You know, like, again, I talk about anger and outbursts and people doing things. You know, are they seeking to get help? Are they seeking to are they changing the things in their life so when things happen to them, they don't respond the same way? Because it's about how people respond and do things, especially when we talk about the repeated sins. If it's alcohol and drugs and if it's all these other things, now what is that person really trying to do so they might change? Because, again, we have to change our atmosphere. We have to change how we think. Are we seeking God? Are we asking God to deliver us from some things? And are we in putting ourselves in a place where we have a community around us? Sometimes it takes accountability. Are we seeking accountability so we don't do the same thing? Are we in prayer? Are we in sincere prayer about, God, change my heart. God, change my mouth. God, change my head, my mind. God, help me with my anger. Help me with this constant sin that burdens me, that keeps pulling me down. And are we living, are we trying to shape and mold our life until we change those habits? Because we can break a habit. We can break a habit if we stop going to the same place and thinking a new way and start to think like God. So, you know, we have to really, are they showing the fruits of repentance? Are they doing something to do it? Because, you know, repeat offenders, you have to have discernment. And we have to pray also, because we also sometimes have to be proactive and get involved with people to help them break the grip that Satan might have on them for that sinful behavior or for that repeated offense. Or what are we doing to help them? Or we just let them do it, we look at them, then we don't seek God for discernment to know what are the things. You know, we talk about alcohol and drugs and other issues. We talk about everybody has triggers. And are we looking to keep our brother's keeper? Are we being our brother's keeper to find out what's triggering them, to find out, to build a relationship, a deeper relationship and fellowship, and about building accountability partners? Something we always talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is who holds us accountable and who are we holding accountable truly? Because it's more than just Sunday morning for 2 or 3 hours and maybe a Bible study. And then having fellowships where you just sit around and and eat, and no one knows what's really what the struggles are, and what's the underlying issues that we're dealing with spiritually and with our character. Hope we are growing in our faith and growing spiritually. Amen. So that, again, is a discernment. Amen. Now I'm going to talk about restitution. When is restitution appropriate? You know, restitution is a lot. I want to point you to Zacchaeus. It's Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. It was when Zacchaeus met Christ, and Christ spoke to him, and he came to faith. He returned it for, what is it, 100 times fold what he stole. So that was restitution. How do we, and things that we do with restitution, is a need to make restitutions? Yes, if it's something that we've done, if it's a sin that caused hurt or harm, can we do something to restitute some character? If we said something that caused the wrong, that restitution is appropriate if we're guilty of offense, we just want to try and provide a restitution. It could be a lot of things. It could be, depending on what it is. I mean, if it's stealing, make a restitution. We all know about that. But when we talk about relationships and emotional restitution, whatever needs to be done sometimes, especially in a marriage, make restitution. How can you fix it? What do you need to do to fix it? And again, that goes back to what I was saying earlier about the fruit of repentance. How are we making restitution for the wrongs we've done to others? That we are really repentant. And when we ask for forgiveness, we're really seeking forgiveness. And restitution for offense, like lying and slander, dishonoring people, doing things to actual people. That, again, if you're lying and slandering, you're confessing the lies. The slander, you're going back and you asking for apologies. You're going back and making, the same people you gossip to, you go back and tell them that you were slanderous about what you said, and it was wrong and it was hurtful, and that you're a liar, basically, confessing your lies, and restoring the honor. And you have to be, if you're truly sincere in what you said was wrong, because, again, we do things in anger, like outbursts. When things don't go our way, we'll do outbursts and call people all kinds of names and say all kinds of things to people in public and in private. But now that restitution is to go back, confess it. If you told a lie, you just spread lies about people, the same people you told like the lies to and that gossip to, you can go back and confess your wrongdoing to it, that the person that you told a lie about may be able to forgive you. They have a heart to forgive you if they heard that you tried to make restitution, that you tried to take the lie back. But I said this about the words and what we say and how we say things about people and to people. It's like a knife. It may not kill you, but it's going to leave a scar. So we have to remember that. When we say things about people, when we lie and slander them, it's like cutting them with a knife. It may heal. They may forgive you, but there's going to be a scar. Amen? Amen. So far tonight, we have talked about forgiveness. I hope something here was encouraging brothers out there to be able to just search ourselves. Each man has to search himself when it comes to forgiveness. And I hope something that I said tonight would encourage you to see who you are, where you are with forgiveness and dealing with it, and just to be better, starting today, starting now. Pray, God, help me to forgive. Help me learn how to forgive. And God, help me to learn how to make restitution, to know how to confess my sins to you, and to those that I've sinned against, that I might be restored and that you might hear my prayers. Amen. Again, my next point I want to talk about is forgiving. Is the forgiver obligated to forget the offense? You know, there's a lot of things that are said that sound biblical but are not biblical. And people suggest that God forgets our sins when he forgives us. But I want to point you to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. And I'm going to go to Isaiah 43 and 25. That's your homework. When we talk about it'll be obligated to forgive our offenses because God has forgiven us, we go to what the Word of God says. You know, sometimes it's yes and no, but it also says that God, the verses, they don't say that God forgets our sins. They say that he will not remember them. There's a difference. To forget something is to have no memory of it. God is obligated in his ultimate wisdom and justice is not that his memory of your transgression, rather he refuses to call them to mind. It's not bringing it up again. That's what God does. He doesn't bring it up again. It's not that he forgets them, but he doesn't bring them up again because of Christ Jesus. You're not held accountable for them. That's the simplest way I could say that. But again, I point you to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, and Isaiah 43 and 25, and you can do your deep dive study on that and really say what the Word of God says about our obligation to forget offenses. There's a difference between we forgive someone and we don't bring it up again. But, you know, that's what it is. That's the difference. We're not bringing it up again. Because God doesn't forget it, but he doesn't bring it up and hold it against us again. Again, especially if we confess it, ask for forgiveness, and we repent from it. Amen? Amen. Because that could be a whole Bible study lesson by itself. But I just wanted to encourage you to start to seek that thing out in the Word of God and know that we are obligated to forgive. We are. Now, we need to forgive our brothers and sisters, to encourage them along the way. Again, when we do something wrong, we want people to forgive us and forget what we've done and move on and all that. But when we are the recipient of a wrongdoing, are we willing to forgive folk and move on and reconnect and reconcile and build fellowship again? Because that's what it comes back to. God's going to hold us accountable for our hearts and how we treat others who do us wrong. That's the real test of forgiveness. And lastly, something we talked about in our last episode, we talked about that we could not forgive ourselves and how we struggle as men sometimes to forgive ourselves for our past deeds. And because it can build up in you, you can keep it, but some of it is just, you know, it's just pride sometimes. And we think that we just want sympathy, we want to see the victim, and we just want to be, we want to be in that place where everybody is pitied for us. We like the flattery and we like people praying for us. So we have to search us about that. And then, you know, it's a way of covering up the real guilt because of what we've done. So we want to cover it up. And we go into this mode of, oh, I can't forgive myself. But if God has forgiven you, if you understand the Word of God, if you believe the Word of God, and you know what forgiveness truly is, forgiving yourself is to get up, brush yourself off, and keep moving forward. The Bible talks about the righteous man falls, but yet he gets up. He doesn't look to be sympathized and to be, manipulate people. Woe is me, woe is me. Oh, the word I'm looking for, pity party. Old Testament was sackcloth and ashes, walking around moping and poping. But, you know, we have to understand God. If you ask God sincere with a sincere heart to in forgiveness, you confess your sins, ask for forgiveness, and repent, God is going to restore you. And he wants you to keep on pressing and keep on going. Amen? So I'll just leave that right there with that about forgiving ourselves. And lastly, what if the offense was such a grave one that I am still hurting? Should I wait to forgive until I until I can be honest about it? This is for the person who was wronged. Should you wait till you really stop hurting about it so you won't be a hypocrite saying you forgive somebody and you don't really forgive somebody? Again, this is something each of us has to search in our heart. But don't just forgive somebody because you think it's the right Christian thing to do. You want to be super Christian, super saved, and you've forgiven someone, but in your heart you haven't. You still, because the thing they've done to you could have really hurt you. And being hypocritical is also a sin, you know, because when stuff happens to you, I'll say this, when stuff happened to me, my emotions in a place where you're ready for revenge. I don't care how long you've been saved. In your heart, it may not come out your mouth, but it may be in your heart, in your head, revenge. And then you give that masquerade of super spirituality, super spirit, I'm super gospel, super saved. Oh, I forgive you. When it's still on the inside of your heart, you're still screaming out for revenge. You're just keeping it pushed down, keeping it undercover, and you're putting against that false face on the outside. So you can harbor that, but you have to not be able to dwell with it, and you have to get to a place where you are truly sincere in forgiveness. And it may not have to be an instant thing. Maybe you have to pray about it. Maybe you have to seek God. You have to let God speak to your heart. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. Because ultimately, you're going to know if your forgiveness is sincere. And that's what God's going to judge. Because, again, we talked about it. If the person does the same thing again, how are you going to respond again? Are you going to bring up that they did it before? They just did it 1 week ago, and here they go again doing the exact same thing. But each man, we have to judge on our relationships when we deal with forgiveness and seek the Word of God and seek prayer and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because we are called to forgive our brother and sister. And then forgiveness is ultimate act of love. Love in one to another, encouraging one another, and keeping one another and encouraging us along the way in this Christian walk. Amen. Amen. You've been listening to This Is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, I appreciate you for joining us tonight. All the brothers who called in at 646-668-2636, I appreciate you. Those listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we also appreciate you. Again, you can always go and listen to this show again, rebroadcast on Facebook, It's Just Christian Men's Talk. You can email us messages. A lot of brothers will be coming up with Zoom meetings, conferences, men's conferences, men's Bible studies. If your ministry is having one, please reach out to us on Facebook so we can post it, so we can get the brothers back involved, back engaged, back in fellowship. And always continue to pray for one another. Father God, I just say thank you right now. Father, thank you for this opportunity, God. I thank you today that my word would encourage someone, oh God, to seek forgiveness and understand what forgiveness is, oh God, that they would search their hearts and minds, oh God. Forgive those who have wronged done them, and Father, seek to repent and confess their sins to you and ask forgiveness from you, and then reconcile and make restitution with those they might have hurt around them. Father, we ask, oh God, today that you bless marriages, bless families, bless children. Continue to strengthen the family, oh God, in the body of Christ, oh God. Continue, God, to be used the body of Christ to your glory, oh God, that souls might get saved, oh God, and that we would live our lives to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
And we can on one accord.